just a few minutes here to let him get the mic set for my voice. And I'll try not to stand too close to the pulpit so that it bounces back into the mic. But what I normally do when I'm standing before you is we take the opportunity and the time, because this is a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We believe in laying hands on the sick and they recover. You saw our declaration. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in praying in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be released through us. So we're going to have just a real short time here, undetermined, but let's just, if you have your prayer language, let's just offer up to God and open our spirits to receive what the Lord has for us today. Each one of you may be different, what you receive or what you need, but we're just going to spend a few seconds here or a few minutes praying in the Spirit and yielding ourselves to the Lord, okay? Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Saruko sokurekedi. Bandoro sidiriere ararara baturo sondorokadiyadeki. Sharobo sondo derede ela karramato sodoro katide ene maturondo. Melele la 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 kasha roto rakarrebedi sidide ala la la basso turu. Manda la 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 de kidide anda robo sondor de kididi yashata rabata sadere ki arai. Lebe de bondor de ririe de asando tote ki tishtere re arrashtar roro de le kistide de mandondo rebe re abarre i ashti de kete kosto le parroso re de ala la manando re de re adakashtor ronde ki tise de de ela la kai. Bendo rebe de barro mosondor de ki tise de di anda rabadodor de ki lebe de basatorra de ririe de ala kosurro re aite Le meturo de di biandondo son do roco shorre ki di di. Serro basatar re ki di di asatarra. Marra kateri ando son do re ki di di. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we come before you this day with your word, Father God, I thank you that you watch over your word. You perform your word. You cause your word to come to pass in our lives, and it will not fail. Because you will not fail, you cannot fail. And as we open our hearts to receive your word, Father God, let it become truth to us. Let it become real and true so that we may be set free in the truth that we learn today, in the truth that we hear today. Father God, if what is heard from this pulpit this morning is new or different from your word, Father God, let it not be heard. But Father God, I submit myself to you to say those things which you have placed in my heart, which I believe to be true and which I believe to be from you. So Father God, we yield this time to you. We say, have your way as we submit to your Holy Spirit. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for your anointing, Father God, that touches each heart and each life as we break your bread, the word of God, this morning. Thank you, sir. Okay, praise God, praise God. I promise we've got about 30 minutes till 12. I'm going to give a little short refresher on some of this stuff. Some of this you have already heard. Some of it you probably have not heard. I would like to think that you would have heard it, at least thought about it, but maybe we'll stir up a little bit something new today. Either way, it's going to be short, and you should have a fighting chance to beat the Baptist to Luby's. So, don't worry about that. Because normally we're way late, you know. But I want to talk to you today about the supernatural. And we just sang about releasing the supernatural. And it's not because Halloween's next week, and we're not going to talk about ghosts or goblins or witches or zombies, but I am going to talk about you and me Do you realize that you are a supernatural spirit being? Little Maxwell, cutest little kid I ever seen. He is a spirit being. He has a spirit inside that little body. And he has a soul that expresses that little laugh that he's got, or that little smile. That's an expression of joy. That's an expression of happiness. That comes from his soul. So everyone who is ever born on the face of the earth is a spirit being. Everyone. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But you can release the supernatural power of God through you to others and to the situations around you. You have the ability, you have the authorization, and the command to release supernatural power into your situation and the situations of others. My goal today is to get you to see, or at least begin to meditate on, the supernatural power of God active and working in your life. We are not alone. We are not just thrown in here and say, okay, do the best you can. We are not. And I hope to present that to you this morning. It's a whole lot more than just being a receptor of the power of God and a distribution center of the power of God. A whole lot more than that. But we'll take that as it comes and see how far we get with that. To start with, let's look at Genesis. Guess where I'm going? Anybody? 1:26. Genesis 1:26. I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Then God said," whew, that means you pay attention, because God said this and it cannot be changed. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Now, who's the "our" that he's talking about there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have always been, and they always will be, plural. Okay. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And believe me, we got some creeps on the earth. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw that in there. There is so much in this verse. And I don't know about you, but ever since Pastor Jim started talking about and teaching about original intent, it seemed like everything either points back to this or it has to go back to the beginning, because it's in everything. It's the intention of God. And what is his intention? We just read it. The rule and dominance of man in the earth. This can clear up so many questions about life, about the earth, about what's going to be, or what will be the final outcome of it all. You know, where everybody's talking about the apocalypse and the end of the earth and, you know, the rapture and being destroyed, the earth being destroyed by fire, and, you know, all these things that we've heard over the years of the end of the earth. And the way that it's looking, it's running pretty quick, not too far ahead. But anyway, what's going to be the end of it all, the man's final destination? Well, according to Genesis 1:26, the earth was made for man. Man was made for the earth. Heaven was created for God and the angels. Now, we're going to heaven before time. Then we are coming back here to pick back up where Adam left off, where he dropped the ball. We're going to pick up at that point, and then we're going to rule and reign in the earth. But there's ruling and reigning to be done now. The earth was made for man and the man for the earth. That's why he gave us a body. That's why we all have bodies right here. Some bodies are more than others. Some are less. Summer. There are all kinds, and that's good. But we have to have a body in order to live and operate on the earth. If your body gets messed up so bad that it can't sustain life, you're out of here. You can't stay on the earth. The ghosts that haunt houses are not the spirits of dead people, okay? Because they can't stay on the earth. They're demons or minions of hell, if you ask me. We need our body in order to rule and reign on earth, because that is what God intended from the beginning. And if something were ever in the heart of God, it always was in the heart of God. It always will be in the heart of God, because He doesn't change. He can't change His mind. He can't change His heart. He can't, well, I didn't do that right. Let's do another path. No. That's why He makes sure that the end is finished before He even gets started. He sees it all. He knows it all. He has it all worked out before He even gets started. So He does not change. If He intended for man to rule over the earth, then it is always His intention for man to rule over the earth. Always. It doesn't matter what man does. It doesn't matter the change. It's all part of God's plan. Okay? And if it's His plan that we rule, then we know that He has put stuff, He has provision in the earth already. Everything that we need to rule and reign in the earth right now, right here, has been provided for us to successfully rule over the earth as well as the world system that operates in the earth. Now, when I say rule over the earth, I am not talking about ruling or dominating people, other souls. Each soul is its own kingdom, I guess, if you would, to itself. We rule over the earth. If you go back to Genesis 1:26, He didn't say everybody or every person. He said every creature and every animal, the birds, the fish, and the earth itself, all creation. Adam was to tend the garden and replenish the earth to make it look like the garden, make the rest of the earth look like the garden, which involves trees and animals and all that kind of stuff. So the situations that arise in earth are ours to deal with. And we have what we need to successfully deal with those situations. So we know what God's will is for us. He created man, a spirit being just like Himself, with a soul and a necessary body. According to the Scriptures, God formed the body out of the earth so that it could survive in the earth, but the spirit was breathed into the body as part of God Himself. Okay? The body is of the earth. The spirit is of God. It came out of God. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. The life of man came out of the life of God. This is a crucial point for you to know and understand, and I believe that we do know that. We've talked about it. We may not completely understand it. How'd that happen? That's not necessarily for us to understand it, but it is necessary that we know it. Okay? Amen. In this case, well, let's see. All the animals on earth were created with a body and soul. Obviously, they have bodies because they walk around. They do all kinds of stuff. They chew on the carpet and they chew on, you know, at least our dog does. And they have a soul. They have a mind. They have intellect. They can learn things. They can express excitement. They can express fear, joy. You know, you can walk outside. You can pet your dog. You know, he's so excited to see you. You walk in the house. You go back out to the car to get another bag of groceries. Come back in. He's excited all again. He's the same way that he was the first time you walked in. You were just gone 45 seconds. You know, he's always glad to see you. He's always happy to see somebody when they come in the door. Dogs are silly. But they're good. But God didn't breathe into them. Or at least we see no record where he breathed into the animals. He only breathed into man. And that is the difference. And I don't care how old a monkey gets, it's not going to evolve into a person. Because that monkey doesn't have a spirit. Man does. It can never be any different. Because that's the way God made it. That's the way he wanted it. So, only man was given a spirit, and that is our God heritage. And I want you to understand, when I say man, throughout this whole morning, when I say man, I'm talking about the human race. I'm talking about mankind in general, not male and female, not any other kind of designation. I'm talking about all the people that are in this room and all the people that are everywhere. Created to rule, and our spirit is our God heritage and our God connection. And because God pronounced his intention for man, that was the authority. So we have the ability because we are made from God. We have the authority because God said, let man have dominion and rule. Okay? So that is the authority. Because you see, God had created other spirits as well. The cherubim, seraphim, the winged creatures that fly around the throne, all the angels that are ministering spirits, and Gabriel, Michael, and even Lucifer and his demons. They are all created spirits. But as far as we know, they were not created in the image of God. It doesn't say they were created in the image of God. They were not given the authority to rule. They were created to serve. They can only do what they are told to do, but man, you guys, were created to rule. The Bible tells us of a time when one of the angels decided he wanted to rule and set up his own throne. We all know the story. The Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for trying to reign. He was out of order because he wasn't created to reign. But man was created to reign. So in order for the devil to rule and reign in the earth, he had to get man to willingly turn over his authority. When ruling spirit Adam submitted to servant spirit Lucifer, everything got out of order. And it all turned ugly real quick. It went nasty. But Adam and Eve did not cease to be the image of God. Okay? They did not cease to be spirit beings. They remained spirit. They lost relationship and the connection with God, but they could still communicate with God. God, you know, they had a conversation. God said, you know, Adam told, we realized that we were naked and we hid ourselves because we heard you in the garden. They were talking. They were having a conversation back and forth. So communication wasn't lost, but the relationship and the connection was lost. And God has always been up in man's affairs because that's his children. That's his people. But there was now a broken relationship and a disconnect from the righteousness and the holiness of the divine nature of God's Spirit. The broken spirit relationship has been passed down into all man through the seed of every earthly father. So how does the seed of a male and the egg of a female come together to form a being that is a spirit, soul, and body? I don't know. I can't figure that out. I don't believe anybody knows how that happens. Scientists have been trying for years, years and years and years, to try to create life, and they can't do it because it is a process of the spirit, and they can't do that. I can understand the biology of reproducing a body. I can see that because, you know, there's evidence of that. As time goes along, there's more and more evidence. But the soul and the spirit being reproduced through the seed can only be a miracle of God. It can only be a miracle of God. Suffice to say, it happens because God said that everything would reproduce after its own kind. So, spirit, soul, and body male, spirit, soul, and body female, they get together. There's a spirit, soul, and body baby, just like what we saw up here a few minutes ago. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's a reproduction of the two that has come together. It's a miracle. I don't understand how that works. So everyone born after the fall was and is and will be in the future a spirit with a soul and a body, and the spirit will be separated from God. I'm sorry, as cute as Max is, his little old face and everything, his spirit is not connected to God. It can be and it will be. There's a promise. And we have to hold on to that promise. But he was born disconnected from God, as we all were. So, we left off with Adam and Eve separated from God, but still spirit beings. And the devil now has man's authority to rule in the earth. But God had a plan. Hallelujah for the plan. This, of course, is the plan of redemption. Our Redeemer came into the earth with the original, untainted, ruling spirit of God, because he wasn't a product of an earthly spirit. He was a product of the Holy Spirit that was yielded to by Mary. Have y'all ever read all the things that Yeshua did while he was on the earth? He showed us how man was supposed to rule over the earth and the world system. Did we ever see a time where Jesus ruled over people? No. He ruled over the powers of darkness. He ruled over creation. He ruled over the storm. He ruled over the little bitty fish and the bread to feed 5,000. That's the rule and reign that I'm talking about. To meet the needs of the situation at hand, but not to hold people in bondage or in slavery or any other kind of subservancy, that's what it is. We are not to do that. Jesus never did that. He ministered and loved the people, and he set them free from the bondages that they had. So that's how we are to rule. He was our example. Then he allowed all the punishment and wrath of the Father to be put on him as payment in full for sin. Through the process of his death, burial, and resurrection, he took the ruling authority back. Because remember, his spirit was like Adam's spirit. That's why they called him the second Adam. Because his spirit was not a human spirit, but it was not born from the human spirit, born of God. So he took the ruling authority back away from the devil and put it back in man's column. Okay? He didn't put it back in man. He put it back in man's column. The only catch was, in order to participate in the ruling and reigning authority, we have to be in and submitted to the lordship of the Redeemer. He said, anyone can have it, whosoever will. It's open to everybody. But you have to come through me to get it. You have to come. He is the only way. And the process of getting and using the ruling and reigning authority is the same process as coming to Yeshua. We hear his word, we receive his word, we believe his word, we act on his word. That is how we come to Jesus. That is how we receive all that he has to give. You see, all through the Old Testament, God would speak things into the earth through man. because, and I'm going a little bit of a sidetrack here, but I'll come back. God would speak things into the earth through man. He said that he would not do anything in the earth unless he first talked with his man about it, or had some kind of interaction. And why was that? Because he had turned the authority over to man already, and he couldn't take it back. It had to be through men, because even though Adam gave his authority away, God had already said that only man had the right to rule and reign. And that excluded God himself. You say, well, but God's sovereign. He can do anything he wants. Well, if you were here several years ago, Pastor Jim set us straight on that idea, that he is sovereign up until the point that he speaks. Then he is bound by his words. He can't break his word. He can't break his word. For God to interject himself back into the earth without going through a man would violate his own decree, and he would cease to be God. That's pretty strong right there. Have you ever thought about that? Now, these things spoken by men into the earth not only gave God permission to do them, it also prevented the devil from stopping him. Not that he could. I mean, what power does the devil have? The devil couldn't stop God from splitting the Red Sea because Moses agreed to it by submitting and being obedient to it. Moses' act of obedience was the permission, if you will, for God to manifest his power on behalf of the Israelites. Now, this is kind of the way my mind works sometimes, and I want you to see if you can identify. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Moses hadn't stuck his stick out there? I mean, Pharaoh's army was pressing pretty hard. They were coming on. If he hadn't stretched his rod out over the sea, what would have happened? If he'd have said, no, I'm not going to do that. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Noah decided he didn't want to build the ark? What would God have done? I don't know. Would the walls of Jericho have fallen if they decided not to march around them seven times? What would have happened if Mary had said, oh no, not me. I don't want any part of this unwed mother stuff. Maybe Pastor Jim can straighten all those questions out, but I honestly have to say I don't know what would have happened. I assume that he would have found somebody else to be obedient and allow the power of God to be manifested. So why am I talking about all this? Well, God's plan was for man to rule and reign and have dominion in the earth. That's what we established at the very beginning from Genesis 1:26. And even though man has continually messed up, we are still the object of his plan. We are still the object of his love, of his attention, of everything that he is about and doing. It is about us, to him. The things that were spoken in the Old Testament were setups. It was a conspiracy, if you will. It was setups and clues as to how God was going to get his son into the earth so that he could give us our rightful authority back. God just couldn't say, okay, Adam messed it up, go down there and fix it. No, he had to get men to speak. So he got Isaiah to say, unto us is born a son, or a it all went away. Where'd it go? A child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. See, all those were, that was the setup right there. He got Isaiah to speak that into the earth so that it could happen. He got all the other prophets and to say these things so that there was a legal permission given, because it had to come through a man. And the New Testament is full of instructions and promises that will take us into ruling and reigning as God originally intended. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Now, I copied this from the New American Standard Bible, but I amplified it my own self. I didn't necessarily look at the Amplified Bible. Well, I didn't look at it at all. But to break it down a little bit as to how I meditate on things, I'll read this, and hopefully you can stay with it if you're following in your Bible. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Seeing that his, now who's his? God's, okay? Divine, what is divine? It's of or relating to a God, especially the supreme being. Divine relates to his omnipotence, his omniscience, omnipresent glory and splendor and awesomeness. Divine, it's deity, it's of God. Of his divine power. What is power? It's ability, abundance, might, strength, mighty, wonderful works. Has, which means it's already. He's already done it. This is past tense. Granted, bestowed or conferred without cost. If something is granted, that means you don't pay for it. It's just given to you. It's bestowed or conferred without cost. He has granted to us everything pertaining, and that is having to do with or effect of life and godliness. And what is godliness? It's righteousness, holiness, conforming to or coming from God. So he has given us everything that pertains to life, living here on the earth, and everything that pertains to righteousness, holiness, conforming to and coming from God. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these what? His own glory and excellence. It was his idea, okay? Out of his glory, out of his compassion for mankind, it was his idea, glory and excellence, or all that he is, because he is excellent. He is glorified. He is awesome. He has granted, again, this is bestowed or given without cost, to us his precious and magnificent promises. He, talking about God, because of his glory and excellence and awesomeness, has freely given us his precious and magnificent promises, or his word, because his promise is his word. If you promise you're going to do something for somebody, you give them your word. A promise is your word. So if he gives us magnificent and precious promises, that means he has given us his word. Okay? And we know what the word is. So that by them what? By them promises of his word, that you may become partakers, or to take or have a part or share along with, or to receive, take, or have a share or portion of. These are all dictionary definitions. Okay? To partake is to take or have a part or a share of something. What do we have a share of? The divine nature. What is nature? It's the particular combination of qualities belonging to a person. You say, well, that's just not my nature. That's not something that I do. But we're not talking about being part of your nature. We're talking about being God's nature, okay? And that is something that we do. That's a good thing to be a part of. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, I've always kind of, that last part always, what's he talking about? Well, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We all know what corruption is, okay? I looked up the word corruption, and you see it on the news every day. It's the selfish greed and perversion of integrity. It's dishonest proceedings, bribery, and moral depravity, or you will. That kind of explains it all there. That corruption is in the world because the unregenerated heart of man is filled with darkness and greed and selfishness, even though he is still a spirit being and made in the image of God. The desire and the ability to dominate, rule, and reign is from God. Okay? Fallen man is still in the image of God. He still has that seed in him to dominate, to rule, and reign. If that person is not regenerated, and if he's not born again, he's filled with darkness, and that desire to rule and reign and dominate will cause corruption, and it will do devious things in order to gain power, to gain authority, to gain rule. That's what the corruption of the world through lust is, because they desire it. It's inherent that they desire it, and because they are in darkness and evil is present in them, their spirit is unreborn again, then it gets ugly. It gets ugly. I have finally gotten to the idea or premise that I want to leave with you today. And I'm longer than I thought I was going to be. You are a supernatural being, not because you were born again, but because you were born. Okay? We are all supernatural beings. We all have creative power inherent in us, whether we are born again or not. Do you know that an unborn again person has power in them? It's because of the connection. It's because of the Spirit and what God decreed in the beginning. God has been telling us that throughout the whole Word, how the power that we have, that man has, just a man. Let me give you just a couple of examples real quick. Job 22, 28. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. You shall decree a thing, and it will be established. Now, this is Old Testament. This guy wasn't born again, but God said, you can decree a thing, and it will be established. A creative attribute of God spoken to an unborn again man. It is inherent in our DNA. Let's look at Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man, or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. And then it goes on, he says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. Again, this is Old Testament, talking about an unborn again person that can affect who he is and what he is by the meditations of his heart or spirit. You can say, well, what if he thinks that way because that's the way he is? No, that's backwards. Because in order to be a different person, you have to think differently about yourself. It's the thoughts that direct the person or body. The body does not direct the thoughts of a person. It doesn't say that as he is, so he thinks. No, it's as he thinks, so he is. So it's the power of our intellect and the power of what we meditate on changes how we live. It changes the activities of our life. Real quick, Brother Ken brought out a scripture this morning, and I'm going to steal his notes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Or the New Living Version, or New Living Translation that he used, Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart determines, or your spirit determines, the course of your life. If it's an unregenerated spirit, there's going to be some trouble, okay? There's going to be some stuff to overcome. But if we're born again, if we have received the Lord as our Savior and our spirit is born again, then out of that flows good things. Our life, the course of our life, can be great. It can be happy. It can be joyous. It can be full of peace. It can be like God, having the attributes of God. Amen? Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, and this is Jesus talking, that whatsoever or whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we all know this from Dad Hagen and anybody else who ever taught the word. God's creative power was released through what he said. In the beginning, when he said, light be, it was that power was released by his words, and light was. Okay? Even before he created the sun and moon. Have you ever noticed that? That there was light before he created the sun and the moon? Where'd that light come from? From God. Then he created the sun and moon on a couple of days later. Light was just because it came out of God. We release creative power when we speak and are convinced that it will be done. That's power. There is a human power because of the residual that God spoke to man, to Adam, in the very beginning. But the human spirit, the human power, is filled with darkness and it's evil and it's corrupt. And that's why we have all the problems of the world today, is because of evil men trying to gain power. Faith causes the same action that would be doing it, or that, let me read this right. Faith causes the same action that we would be doing if what we speak was already done. Okay? We've heard Pastor give the illustration. He's put his faith out there and he is speaking, calling in a new car. What does he do? He goes, buys a bucket and a sponge and some detergent to wash his car with. What car? He doesn't have a car. But he's acting as if it was true. He's acting as if it's already done. That is faith. This causes it to come to pass. Okay? I'm moving on. We're almost done here. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now I want to pair that with 2 Corinthians 4:18, which we all know as well. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you may have to read this verse over and over and over and look at it bit by bit to get that understanding, because while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, and the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sometimes that can get kind of confusing. But let me put these two together. With God, nothing is impossible. If you're seeing some things that look impossible, stop looking at them. Repent from looking at the lie. Because the Word said, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. So if it looks impossible, you're seeing it with your eyes, you're seeing that big old bill up there, and you say, there ain't no way I can pay that. Stop looking at it and start looking at the Word. Start looking at the promise of God. Remember, it is the promises of God that causes us to be partakers of His divine nature. And as the first scripture says, with God nothing is impossible. If it is impossible, then it is outside of God. Don't go out there. That's not a good place. That is where all the corruption and evil and darkness is. Stay in God, in the light, and let life and godliness fuel the desires of your heart. Don't look at the things which are seen, because they are not real. Look at the eternal. Look at the Word, the promises of God. We are all supernatural spirit beings. We are not powerless, empty shells. Okay? And this is going to get, we're winding up, but this is going to get real interesting right here. If that were the case, if man without God was just a empty shell, there was nothing to him, everybody would be walking around with a hollow-eyed look wondering when we're going to eat next. Okay? But just look at some of the people who are of the world, who are not born again, and you can tell that by their actions. They are successful. Some of them are successful. Some of them are very successful. Some more than others. And what does the Bible say? That the children of the world they know more, or they handle their lives better than the believers. I don't exactly know how that's worded, but most are not born again, but they are successful, and some more than others, and a lot of them have made their own way because they were diligent in attaining knowledge and discipline. They are responsible for their wealth. Sure enough, because they followed principles of God that they didn't even know they were following, because it was innate in them, or it was inherent in them to do those things, because God told Joshua, if you will do these things, then you will make your way prosperous. Well, if an unborn again person, Joshua was not born again, so if an unborn again person does those same principles, it's going to work for him too. But there is a dark side to all of that for them. For sure, there are corrupt liars and cheats and who have stolen and manipulated their way up. Sure there are. But there are genuine people who have been successful in their life without God. But it's not going to last. It's not going to last. There are certainly people who have royally messed up their lives with bad decisions. You see them on the street corner all the time. That's the end result of the human nature. I'm talking about the God nature, the divine nature. What am I saying? We all have God-like characteristics. We are all still made in the image of God. And we operate those characteristics in our lives every day, whether we realize it or not. That's just the way we are. Okay? The difference between the believer and the non-believer is the believer has a covenant with the God of all creation, and he has promised, our God has promised us eternal life, health, access to his presence, joy, peace, love, forgiveness, the ability to accomplish anything through God's anointing, the assurance that he will never leave us, and the promise that he will always supply our need with abundance. That is the difference of the believer and the non-believer. We have a covenant with God. We have the favor of God. When we are not in God, we are subject to elements of darkness, evil, and hardship. When we are in God, he brings good things to our lives, or he sets us up to bring good things into our own lives because of what he has placed in our heart, because he lives in our heart. And the circumstances that flow around us every day are in our control when we allow God to have control. We can say, okay, that is not a good situation over there. I'm going to take authority over that, and I'm going to manipulate that however it needs to be manipulated with the power of God, being released releasing the supernatural power of God in our lives. We can rule and reign in joy and peace and love, and nothing shall be impossible to us. Amen? So we are spirit beings. We are the image of God. We have inherent in our makeup God characteristics. And when we are connected back to the original source, abundant life, happy, joyous, loving, peaceful, patience, all those fruit that we see in Galatians 5, they're evident in our lives, and our lives are blessed. Amen? Did you get anything out of this morning? I hope I said something that would stir your heart and stir your mind and draw you a little closer to the heart of God. Father God, I thank you for this time that you've allowed us to be together. And I celebrate you, Father God, in this place. And I speak blessings on all these people that are here, all those that have come this morning. I speak blessings into their lives. I thank you, Father, that you show yourself strong in their behalf because their hearts are turned toward you for being here this morning. And I thank you, Father God, that you go before them with your favor and you surround them on all sides with your angels and your protection and your love and your care, Father God. And I thank you that you always supply all of our need according to the riches of your glory and according to the abundance according to the power that you have placed in us that works in and through us. I thank you, Father, that our lives are changed, our lives are reborn, our lives are remade and anew this day because your loving kindness is new every morning. We give praise, glory, and honor and thanks to you, sir. Blessed be your name. I speak blessings on you. The face of God shines on you. He goes before you. He covers you in all of your ways, all of your deeds, and everything you put your hand to is blessed and successful. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, next week is decades. Put on your poodle skirt and your...